Be'ezer Hashem, today's daf is daf Gimel in Maseches Sota. The topic of most of the daf is the Parsha Kinui, the jealousy that a husband has in the wife, as appears in Parsha's Nasa by the Parsha of Sota. First, the Gemara will define what the word Kinui means. As the Pasuk describes, Va'ovar alav ruach kinavi kinei is ishto v'hi nitma'a. Ovar alav ruach kinei is ishto v'hi lo nitma. What exactly is this kinui? And then the Gemara will discuss whether this kinui that the husband has, is that a rishus? Is that something that the husband is allowed to have? Or is it a chova? The Gemara as well will even discuss whether it is appropriate for the husband to have it, to the point that it might even be in Isser as well. Let's begin the Gemara. Beis on the Beis, six lines from the bottom. Amar Reish Lakish, Mad Lashin Kinui. What does the word Kinui mean? Davra Matil Kina Beino Levein Acherim. It is something that places jealousy, even though one would have translated Kina between the husband and the wife. Actually, Reish Lakish does not translate the word that way. Rather, it means Kina between her and others. What does that mean? So the Gemara, in defining Reish Lakish, will also explain what that means as well. Alma kasavar kinui al pi atzmo. Number one, the kinui takes place even by the husband himself. It doesn't have to be done through Eidim. And it's not public knowledge. If it would be by two Eidim, that would be public knowledge. V'kuli alma lo yadi dikanila. And no one knows that he was mikaneher. The Amar my dikama de kabodla. And then all of a sudden she's avoiding certain men. She's not even talking to them and so on. Yesterday's daf we discussed that stira might be prohibited is prohibited even in cases when it's not considered yichud. So once there's kinui, she's going to entirely avoid any contact with that particular man. There is a discussion in the Achronim whether it's possible to have kinui with a few men. The Minchas Chinuch discusses it. But either way, there is going to be this issue of badah. And then people are going, there's going to be a sense of displeasure that she's avoiding certain people. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld discussed why, it's quoted in the Hamasifta in the Yalkut Biurim, discusses why wouldn't that be just interpreted as snius, that she's avoiding men. So the answer is, he says that she's avoiding one particular man, or according to Minchas Chinuch, two or three particular men. Everybody else, she's saying, responding in kind. But if there's only two or three people, so then that's going to seem very strange and going to create disagreements. Rav Yema bar Rav Shlamim Shmeda Bayomer, Dover Hamatil Kina Beino Leveino. Rav Yehuda Bar Shama disagrees. The kina is probably the more conventional way of understanding it. It means kinui between the husband and the wife. What's that based on? Alma, first of all, it's not information that comes from him, the husband, as we had learned according to Reish Lakish, but rather comes from Eidim. Kasavar kinui al pi shnayim Eidim. V'kuli alma yada dekani la, and everybody knows that there's kinui. V'iyu hu da aslam yavid kina bahada. And of course, he is extremely jealous of it, that there are Eidim that are introducing, that are publicizing that there is kinui. Alma, kasavri dasa lekanos. We see from here, from both the opinion of Reish Lakish, as well as the opinion of Rav Shlamya, that it is prohibited to be mekane. Why? Because they understand the word kinui va'avalav ruach kina v'kineis ishto as being some level of anger between different parties. And for that reason, that seems to indicate that there's an iser, because there is a negative expression and emotion, what Rashi refers to in some places as kas between the two, or Rashi on the bottom of Beis and Beis referred to as knita, as fighting. So that would all indicate that's also lekanos. Umandomer mutter lekanos ma'al lashon kinui, but according to Mandomer, who says that it's permissible, what is this lashon? Amar Nachma Yitzchak ein kinui el lashon asra. V'cheinu omer vayikane Hashem le'artzo. The pasuk in Yoel says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is warning. He's warning the grasshoppers not to destroy his land. So to over here, the word kinui means the same thing. Tanya, Hari Meiram Omer. We're five lines from the top on Gimel Amud Aleph. Omer Adam over Avera B'Seiser. Tanya Hari Meir Omer. Adam over Avera B'Seiser. A person could violate an Avera in private. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Machriz Alav B'Gihui. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately reveal that Avera to others as well. Shenemar V'Avera Alav Ruach Kina. It says in regards to Sota that there was a Ruach Kina that passed. Ve'ein aveira elo lashon hachraza. Va'avar alav does not simply mean that it passed over the husband, but rather it also means that it was publicized. Shenemar, as we see when it comes to the construction of the Mishkan in the end of Sefer Shmos, va'itzav Moshe va'aviru kol ba'machane. And there, Moshe called out to stop bringing to the Mishkan. So the lashon of avara refers to achraza. Rish Lakish Amar, Ein Adam Over Averim Kin Nichas Bo Ruach Shtut. Rish Lakish also pointed out something else from here. Number one, from Sota, we learn that God could reveal the Averas that one did in private. Number two, says Rish Lakish, that there must be that there was a Ruach Shtut that overcame the woman. Shinemar Ishish Kisiste Ishto. Tishtek Siv, that the word Siste could also be Darshan as Tishte with a Shin, and there that would refer to Shota. That God forbid a Ruach Shtus had gone over her, hence she had sinned. 10 lines from the top, the Gemara continues. Why is it that after Kinui, an Eid Echad is going to be believed? We've outlined that there are many different types of halachos in regards to cases of adultery. In other words, this Two Eidim is a verified fact if they witness the act, the Maisa's Nus itself. One Eid after Kinui is enough to make the woman Asura. Two Eidim will put to death. And then, if you have Kinui and Stira, different opinions about what level of Eidus that you need, three opinions in the Tanoim that we discussed yesterday, two in the Mishnah and one on Beis HaMebeis, all of those will introduce the Mayim of Hashka, of Mesota, but that won't necessarily make the woman usher for her husband forever. However, if there's two Eidim or one Eid, in such a case, a woman will be usher to her husband forever. So Rabbi Shmuel says, Mipnei ma'amino Torah Eid Echa B'Sota. Why is it that the Torah believes in Eid Echa B'Sota? Shereglayim L'Davar. There's already Reglayim L'Davar. Shereikina L'Vinistra. Ve'Eid Echa Me'ida She'i Tmeya. And an Eid Echa is Me'id that she was Tame. So there's enough what we would call in English circumstantial. Rabbi Akiva Eger is often celebrated for his fantastic questions. What's sometimes forgotten is that Rabbi Akiva Eger is also a great reference. In the Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Akiva Eger makes reference on the side of our Amid, Ayin Mordechai, or Mordechi, that's how I heard from my Rebbe Rav Nevensal, Perek HaGozel Kama, Simin Kuf Lamed Ches. The Mordechi, in the end of Perek HaGozel, has an important reference to this Gemara. Rabbi Yishmael and us mitzvah ma'amina Torah. Why is it that the Torah believes? Asks the Mardechi, this whole discussion, which is has important philosophical import, which is beyond the Daf Yomi, of mitzvah ma. Why is it that the Torah does it? Isn't that subject to a famous machlokes shas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon of whether we are doresh taima dekra, whether we expound on the rationale of the Torah? Do we try to determine the rationale of a pasuk and hence affect its halachos based on that? The Gemara, this is a machlok, is in many places in Shas, Gemara Kedusha, Daf Chaf Aleph, as well as on Samaches HaMebeis over there, and there the Masoret HaShas could give you many other references where we have this machlok between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabban. Ask the Mardechi, how could our Gemara have Rabbi Yishmael suggesting this? According to the Rabbanon, we're not Doresh Taim of the Korah. The Mardechi brings this up in Bava Kama Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis for another famous question, Mipnei Ma, and that is the question of Modem Mikzas. Mipnei Ma, Amra Torah, Modem Mikzas, Hatayni Yishavu. What's the rationale of the Torah? Specifically, someone who is Modem Mikzas makes a Shvua. And the Gemara there, in Bava Kama, as well as on Bava Metziah, Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, learns many halachos from the answer to that question, Ayin Sham. Asks the Mardechi in Bava Kamma over here too. We have this problem, as well as in the Gemara, in Bava Kamma and Bava Metzia, that we're asking Mipnei Ma, and presumably that's only going according to Rabbi Shimon. So the Mardechi answers and says, no, our Gemara in Sota and the Gemara of Moda Mimiksas even follow the Rabbanan. The rule Mipnei Ma Amra Torah is whether we search for a rationale. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. We will search for a rationale and we will apply it to the halachos. However, when it's bolet, when it jumps out at us, when it's obvious that it's not consistent with other rules of the Torah, or as in the case of Eid Echad, or it just simply is very hard to make sense of this rule, then even the Rabbanan would agree. Hence, there are times that the Tanoim will, if you will, be Doresh, Taima Dekra, or ask, as in our Gemara, Mipnei Mahamina Torah. Either way, the Gemara continues. It asks a very basic question. Let's take a look at the Psukim. In Bamidbar Hey Yud Gimel, the pasuk says, "V'shachav isho sashich v'azera v'ne'la me'ini isha v'nisra v'hi nitma'a." The first description of the problem of the isha sota is that she was nistar. Then in pasuk Yudalit it says, "V'avar v'rachina." The Gemara here is asking a basic question, specifically in regards to the limit of Devei Rabbi Shmuel that we just learned, but it's a basic question in general that applies already to the Mishnah that we learned on the Beis Amid Aleph. And that is, the way we describe the Pras Sota is always Kinui, and then Stira. But if you look at the Psukim, it has Stira before Kinui. According to Rabbi Shmuel, what is the reason, Mipnei Ma Amina Torah, that there was Reglaim L'davar? It was circumstantial evidence. What was part of circumstantial evidence? That there already was a Kinui. If that is so, that there was already a Kinui, so then the Psukim seem to be out of order. That is the question that Rav Papa asks Abai. Amalei Rav Papa Abai v'ochi k'siva, Kinui basar stira tumu d'k'siva. Kinui is written afterwards. Amalei v'avaru k'far avar. He says you have to read Pasuk Yudalit, v'avar alav ruach kina, means that it already once was a long time ago. Asks the Gemara, Ela me'ata v'avar lachem kol chalut, hachanami, The Gemara asks and answers in regards to the Bnei Yisrael at the end of Parshas Bamidbar, Matas and Maaseh, they're crossing over into Eretz Yisrael. There it says, Va'avar lachem kol chalutz, and there it seems to indicate that it was Va'avar means before. How could you say that they had already passed over? To which the Gemara answers, is the pasuk says v'nichbishar etzofnei Hashem, that it means also lehaba, that it means as well as the future. So actually, this is a question and answer. El me'ata v'kol chalut hachinami answers the Gemara. Hasam nichsiv nichbishar etzofnei Hashem v'achat hashuvu mashma lehaba. Just to clarify, the Gemara is answering that the lashon over here of the pasuk in the second passage v'nichbishar ha'aretz L'fnei Hashem v'achar teshuvu indicates that it's lahaba. I apologize if I said before la'avar. It's lahaba. And since it's lahaba, then it would indicate that as well, va'avar lechem is also the lashon of haba. Alahacha, but over here, when it comes to sota, Yisak adayit t'chsivi va'avar basar tuma, stira v'kinui lamali. If we're going to take literally the order of the pasuk, as we do in the case of Bnei Yisrael va'avar lechem, then why would one need Stira and Kinui, because there is no need for that process in regard once there is Tuma the Stira. So the Gemara has just set down that the reason why an Eid Echad is believed by Sota is because there is circumstantial evidence, because there was Kina prior to Stira. The Gemara pointed out that Va'avar Alav Ruach Kina actually appears after the mention of Stira in the Pasuk of Anistira. So which the Gemara says, you have to say, V'avar means a lashon kvaravar, that already had happened. But the Gemara says, but that doesn't seem to be the pasuk of V'avar lachem kol chalutz, in regards to when Bnei Yisrael will travel over to the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says, you're right, because over there, V'nich v'sha'aretz l'fnei Hashem v'achar teshuvu, also indicates that's the future. But over here, it could go. It could be read only one way, and that is that there was kinui and then stira. Because if there was tumah and stira, then there's no reason that kinui would be an appropriate piece of information at all. Continues the Gemara, another drasha from Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Ein Adam Mekana Lishta Elm Kei Nichnasa Bo Ruach. The only time kinui could even take place is if there was some type of ruach that entered in him, as the Gemara, the Torah uses a curious expression. Shenemar Va'avar Alav Ruach Kina Bekina Yisishto. A spirit passed over him. My ruach, Rabban and Amri Ruach, Tumah Ravashi Amri Ruach Torah. Fascinating machlokis between the Rabban and Ravashi. Is this a negative emotion, that a negative spirit, or Ravashi actually claims that it is a pure spirit that had gone over it? Umistabra, says the Gemara, Kimand Amri Ruach Torah. Disanya Vikine is Ishto Rishus, the Rav Shwar Vikiva Omer Chova. We have a machlokis, a fascinating machlokis as well, between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, whether it's a requirement for him to be Kana Ishto, or is it a Rishus, as is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Says the Gemara, what's this machlokis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? He amrit b'shlema ruach tahara shapir. If we're going to say that it's ruach tahara, so then it could be the Torah doesn't mandate to have that ruach tahara. That would be the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. But at the same time, it's okay to have it. Rabbi Akiva would say, no, the Torah mandates that the husband should react in cases there seems to be something to be mekane. Eli yamru ruach tuma. But if you're going to say ruach tuma, reshus v'chova liyulu yinshe ruach tuma menashe, either whether it's a reshus or a chova, would we mandate, would the Torah want a person require it, or even say it is a reshus, the Torah would prohibit it if it's something that's inappropriate. Therefore, both according to Rabbi Shmuel and according to Rabbi Akiva, it seems that we would not consider it a ruach tama, but rather a ruach tahora, as in the opinion of Ravashi. This machlokis hatanoim between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva introduces some fascinating discussions in regards to mitzvos in general. The machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva over here is ruach kina a chov, or is it a reshus? Now wait a second, how many mitzvos are there? Asks Tosfos on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph and Dibur HaMaskil Rabbi Yishmael. We teach all Jewish children that there are 613 mitzvos. This is the opinion of Rav Samloi in the Gemara in Makos and Nafchav Gimel Amud Beis. As Tosfos describes, there are 613 mitzvos that were given to Moshe at Sinai. Wait a second. So how could there be a discussion whether it's a reshus or a chova? Let's see a little bit of Tosfos inside. Tema le Rebbe v'chiles lo adam reshilim makos sheish meilos v'yugim mitzvos nemer le Moshe at Sinai v'chil Rabbi Shmuel adam reshus batzar la luhu. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, he says no, this one doesn't count. So now you got down to 612. All the Rabbi Akiva tvei, and according to Rabbi Akiva, there's 614. What is going on? How do you fit whenever you have machlokas between Rishus and Chov, which we will see, the Gemara will have three different machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva about whether a certain biblical expression is a mitzvah, is a Chov, or a Rishus, and that should seem to fall into problems in regards to the idea that there are 613 mitzvot specifically. So says Tosfos, you're right, you got to adjust. Tosfos in the last wide line says, V'nira de b'shar mitzvot de mafik Rabbi Shmuel mikra of the Rabbi Akiva es machta. You're going to have to say that certain mitzvot that Rabbi Shmuel learns out from a pasuk, and that's when we say 613 mitzvot means a pasuk, and Rabbi Akiva learns it out from an asmachta. There's a very fascinating achron, the Maritz Chiyas, who we'll talk about in a moment, who is in the back of the Gemara, who often brings very interesting Marim Makomos in regards to questions like these, in regards to Taryag Mitzvos, the ideas of Drashos, and so on, that the Maritz Chiyas points out that the Ramban in the Sharashim, I believe it's Shoresh Rish, already dealt with the question that the later Balei Tosfos over here discuss. Many point out in the Hamasifta edition that this Tosfos over here tend to be
it seems most scholars feel is one of the later Balei Tosfos. So the Ramban probably wrote about this even before the Balei Tosfos, and the Ramban comes to an amazing conclusion. The Ramban says that even though the Gemara in Makos says that there are 613 mitzvos, that was the opinion of Rav Simloi in that Gemara. However, not all of the Amoraim and possibly even Tanoim agreed with that opinion. Hence, the Ramban claims that the number 613 does not have to be absolute and fit in to Rabbi Shmuel's cheshbonos of which mitzvot are Rishus and which ones are Chova, and Rabbi Akiva's cheshbonos of which one are Rishus and which are Chova. The Maritzchias points out astutely that our Tosfos seems to be disagreeing with this Ramban. Sefer Maritzchias was a favorite of one of my Rabbeim, who I learned Tanakh by, Rabbi Shlomo Karmi. He often pointed out that many issues that are now associated with what, for lack of a better term, the scientific method, the Maritzchias would address many, again, for lack of a better term, modern questions of how to reconcile different assertions of Chazal and how to describe how drashos work. The Maritzchias was a tremendous, tremendous resource during the times of the unfortunate attacks of the Reform on the beauty and the veracity of Torah. The Gemara continues to analyze this machlokis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in regards to whether kinui is a chov or is a rishus. About 20 lines from the bottom, first word on the line is tuma gufa. V'kinei es ishto, rishus div Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva omer chova. We learn this machlokes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Now, let us analyze it. And we're going to have to analyze another couple of machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. Lo yitamo. In Parshas Emor, the Torah tells us that we have a time that a Kohen is going to be able to be Mimtame himself, Lo Yitama, to his wife. So here again we have a Machlokis, Lo Yitama Rishus, Div Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva Merchova. A third Machlokis in regards to an Eved Kenani. The Torah says, "V'nachaltem osam in Parshas Bahar l'vnechem achreichem reshet achuzah la'olam b'em tavodu." The Eved Kenani is supposed to work for you forever. Rishus, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's a Rishus. Rabbi Kiva Merchova. If you will, as we say in the yeshivas, l'shitasam in these three psukim, whether it's a Rishus or a Chova, it analyzes the Gemara. Amar le'Rav Papa la'Abayev. Amar le'Rav Misharshia la'Rava. Le'mer Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, v'chol haTorah kula achi pligi. Is there a machlokis in Kol HaTorah Kula? According to Rashi, this question, the Meiri seems to have a slightly different pshat, but we will go with Rashi's. Machlokis in Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva is, almost rhetorically, the Gemara is asking, are they arguing about all mitzvos aseh, whether there's a rishus or a chov, in Kol HaTorah Kula? Clearly, that would be a rhetorical question. The Gemara is saying, what is doing over here? Where we have machlokes Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva. Demara Mershus, Demara Mechova? Question mark. Amalei? No. Don't misunderstand. Hacha Bikroi Pligi. Over here we're having a machlokes in regards to how to define the psukim. These particular psukim is open to two different readings. In general, of course, the Torah is a chov. If it's a rhetorical question, it's a little bit hard to understand the Hava Mina. According to Meiri's explanation, it's a little bit more easy to understand because there are psukim that are possible to be interpreted as rishus, as chov. For example, when it comes to the mitzvah of matzah, the Torah tells us that one place in Re'e it says sheishes yom tochal matzos, and other places it says, most places it says 7 days yili matzos. Over there, it's not a chov, there it's a rishus. So there are times that the psukim could be interpreted in different ways. That's how the Meiri understands, and that would be easier than Rashi, because according to Meiri, there's a legitimate Havamina over here. In other words, in every place, a pasuk could be determined to be understood as a Rishus. Does Rabbi Shmuel always refer, understands Rishus, and Rabbi Akiva always as a Chov? To which the Gemara says, no, over here specifically, halachically, there's reason to interpret it this way.
Amar le, so Abaye, if it's Rav Papa who asked the question, responds, Amar le, hacha b'kroi pligi.
No, over here specifically, there's something in the pasuk. V'kine is ishto rishut. That could be interpreted as rishut. The Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Amar chova. My time is the Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, so it's a vague pasuk, and it could be understood in two different ways. What is Rabbi Shmuel's rationale? At the end of the day, you need a hechreach, a proof in one particular direction. My time, the Rabbi Shmuel Sava Lo Kiai Tan, he holds like this Tanya. This Tanya Mamig learned in Hele Gebraisa. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Klape, Sha'amra Torah. There seems to be some Rishonim seem to even understand something opposite. We need to face off with another pasuk in the Torah. Lo Sisna Sachicha Belavecha. How could you have V'kina Ezishto? It's a violation of the mitzvah d'oraisa, the lav of Lo Sisna Sachicha Belavecha. Everyone who learns the parsha of Sota should be bothered by this. He's bearing a grudge against her. Yachol Kigon Zu Tamalomar Vava Lavruach Kina V'kina Ezishto. No, the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that this case is an exception. That for some reason, we haven't yet explained entirely why, but for some reason, the Torah wants to permit this phenomenon of Ikine is Ishto. That would be one way of understanding. Rabbi Akiva, that's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva, Kina Achrina Ksiv. Rabbi Akiva says that the Torah says it twice. In fact, we have one pasuk that uses the expression of kina many, many, many times. Va'avar love ruach kina one, v'kina ishto two, v'hi nitma. Oh, avar love, we have the inverse as well. Ruach kina three, v'kina ishto, v'hi lo nitma. Kina is ultimately said four times. Rabbi Akiva is going to focus on the fact that kinui here in the ratio of the pasuk is mentioned twice, Rashi explains, and therefore, once it's said twice, one is coming to tell us a rishus, the other is coming to tell us a chov. Rabbi Shmuel, I did the boy lichta v'hi nitma, v'hi lo nitma, k'siv nami v'kinei sishto. Rabbi Shmuel understands the reason why the Torah repeats it twice is because it needs to say both the positive and the negative. So therefore, we're going to say that it's lav dafka in terms of telling us one lechov and one lirishut. Flesh that out in the Gemara. Rabbi Yishmael, I did the boy lichtav. V'hi nitma, v'hi lo nitma, k'siv nami v'kine yisishto. Once we need to have, as we'll explain in a moment, why, both the ratio and the sefer of the pasuk of v'hi nitma, as well as the inverse, v'hi lo nitma, so then we're going to have v'kine yisishto written twice. Why do we have both the ratio and the sefer of the pasuk v'hi nitma v'hi lo nitma? So Rashi explains in the Maskel of Rabbi Yishmael. Let's see the Rashi inside. Rabbi Yishmael Amar Lecha, I did the boy lemichta v'hi nitma v'hi lo nitma. Why? Shesafik hu b'yudenu. It's being mechadish that even though objectively we have a suffik, v'af al pikein asra akasa misafik, and nevertheless the Torah answers her misafik. There is a big discussion of why does the Torah need to answer you suffik. At the end of the day, don't we say suffik d'oraisa l'chumra? Emir to Hashem, in future shiurim, we will eventually come to that. But that is why we have both the ratio of the pasuk of v'hi nitma and v'hi lo nitma, and therefore the repetition of the word kinui is not for a drasha. Rashi points out that still one could ask, according to Shmuel, there still is kinui that's superfluous, because it's not that kinui is said twice, it's actually said four times. So if you look in the continuation of Rashi, Rashi addresses that question as well. Continues the Gemara. Ditana devei Rabbi Shmuel, as Rabbi Shmuel already taught, kol parsha shenemer v'nishnis lo nishnis el b'davar b'shvil davar shenis chadish. But when you have a repetition, there is a chiddush, and the chiddush over here is that even though there is a suffix, nevertheless she's going to be asura lebaila. Continues the Hege Gemara. We have another case where we have the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, as we had mentioned before. That is the pasuk v'lachoso apsula krova lo v'ashalo isa li'ish lo yitama. Then regards, we mentioned last time that a kohen is allowed to become tamei to his wife, as well as the Torah tells us in regards to an unmarried sister. So this pasuk as well, v'lachoso apsula krova lo v'ashalo isa li'ish lo yitama, is as well subject to the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara analyzes what is behind that machlokas. Lo yitamar rishus, five lines from the bottom. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva omer chova. My time of the Rabbi Shmuel, I did exiv emor el ha-kohanim b'nei Aron, v'amar talem l'nefesh lo yitama b'amav. It's trich l'michtav lo yitama. Since the Torah already says that one is allowed to, it's prohibited to become tamei to a dead person if one is a kohen, so therefore the Torah is matir, it creates a heter of a rishus. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. If that's it's true that you need first a rishus to be matir, that would be one pasuk, and if you add a second pasuk, that would tell you a chova. But Rabbi Akiva says we already have the matir that undermines the prohibition of lo yitama b'amav. For Rabbi Akiva, michi'im l'sheiro nafka. We already learn out from before that the Torah already says ki'im l'sheira karov alav, that you are allowed to become tamei to a relative. And of course, an unmarried sister would qualify as a relative. Lo yitam lamali. So why do we need this extra pasuk for one sister? Lechova, telling you it's going to be a chov. Ask Tosos, in the last Tosos on the Yom, Dibra Masa lo yitam ma, what would the nafkamina be between the two? Whether you say Rishus or Chova. So Tosos says it's going to have a practical nafkamina la halacha of whether we invoke the rule of ha-osek b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah. Do we say that a Kohen who's being Osek in burying his unmarried sister, is he being involved in a mitzvah or in a rishus? To the point that if someone else asks him to go and do another mitzvah, would he say, no, I'm being Osek in my sister? So this would be an afkamina of whether it's considered a rishus or a chov. The Gemara, continuing on in the Gemara, seven words before the end of the Amudan, last line, Rabbi Shmuel, lo mitama. What is Rabbi Shmuel going to do with the pasuk of lo yitama? At the end of the day, isn't it repetitious? So says Rabbi Shmuel, ve'ein mitame la'avareha. Lo yitama lo mitame ve'ein mitame la'avareha. He does not become tame to her avarim. There is a discussion in the Rishonim. What exactly is this Gzeres HaKasa telling you that her limbs he doesn't become Tameter. Let's take a look at Rashi. Lo yitama im meisa ve'enim etam l'avareha im echon me'elu muka shchin ve'ivarav noflin eim etam lehem. If the above krovim, their limbs fall off, so then in such a case, then he's not metame to them. In the Gemara in Chulin, Rashi says that if there's Aver Menachai, and the God forbid if a limb falls off of a living person, so then the Gemara says on Kuf Chavches on Beis in Chulin that metame ke'aver min hameis, it would be metame, and therefore, it will require burial. The chidush hakra over here would be that the brother of such a kohen would not become tamei to such a varim. The Tosis Rush asks a question on Rashi's pshat that if you take a look in the Gemara Nazir on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, even if it wasn't the case of a limb falling off from a dead living person. Even if it was a dead person, the halacha in the Gemara Nazir seems to be that one would not be able to be metame, a kohen would not be able to metame to a blood relative, a varim. The exception would be if it would be a skull or a spine or the majority of the Evarim. So according to Tosis Rush, it would seem Ve'imetam Levorel would not be talking about, as Rashi describes, the case of Aver Menachai, where the limb of a living person had fallen off, God forbid, but rather was talking about, it was Aver Menameis, but not Stam Aver Menameis, but talking about a case of a skull, spine, or rove of the Evarim. Either way, again, we have Machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and we turn the Amud, Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, how are we going to know this halacha that the Kohen is not supposed to be metamei to Evarim? In came, lichtov rachmona lov, lishtok yitameh, lamali, yitama lamali, shma mina is coming to tell us this halacha of that he's not supposed to be metamei to the Evarim. Again, the discussion, Rashi and Rush, which Evarim we would be discussing. Rabbi Shmuel, what's Rabbi Shmuel going to do with the word yitama? So here the Gemara repeats. This is a classic machlokis. What happens if we have a chidush in the pasuk, but not every word in the pasuk is necessary? So Rabbi Shmuel has a different view of Rabbi Akiva in this regard. Rabbi Shmuel, I do kasav law
Kasav Nami Itamal, Lechazutani Rabbi Shmuel, the Tan Rabbi Shmuel, call Parsha Nemer Venishnes. If you have something repeated, as we do in this case, Lo Nishnes Elbishil Darshanes Chadishba, it's repeated for one chidush, and even if there are other superfluous words, as long as there's one chidush, in this case, that the Kohen should not be metame to the Ivarim of his sister, then that is going to be enough to repeat the sukkim. Murray continues with a third example of the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, whether a pasuk is meant as a reshus, that's permissible, or an obligation, and that is in regards to the pasuk of the Olam Bahem Tavodu, in regards to Gentiles that are conquered, that are not from the seven nations, that there is a mitzvah to destroy, but all other goyim. So there, the Torah tells us in Parshas Bahar, "V'snachatam osan levnechem achrechem resh achuzal olam bem tavodu v'chachem bnei Yisrael ishibachiv lo zir devo beferach," that you can take them as slaves. Lo zok deheli gemara 6 lines from the top. Lo lamem tavodu rishus the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva Omer Chova. My time to Rishmal. On the one hand, we have the command of Lo Sechai Kol Neshama in regards to Shiva Ha'umos. So then we need another pasuk to tell us about the other Gentiles, that there would be no chiyuv of Lo Sechai, but rather they shall become Avodim. So Vevet will be we speaking about, continues the Gemara. What exactly is the instance of where the Gentile is not going to be subject to Lo Sechai Kol Neshama? The Torah already told us that the Lo Sechai Kol Neshama applies to the seven Amim. Itzrich Nami Levichtav Lolam Mem Tavodu V'Misho Echa Mikol Umos, one of the non-seven nationals that are from Israel. Echa Mikol Umos Sheba Aknanis, that came on Aknanis, that's one of the seven Umos. So you had a Gentile, an outside Gentile coming on a female Knan. V'holim imenu ben, sh'ata rasho likno. So, Pasuk here is coming to tell us that it's permissible to acquire that child. When it comes to Jews, so then we have matrilineal descent, that you follow the mother. However, when it comes to Gentiles, we follow paternal descent. Hence, when it comes to a Gentile, so the halacha is that if you had one of the permissible Gentiles where Lo Sechai Kol Neshama does not apply to him, who had relations to a Knanis, the halacha is that the offspring will fall into someone who is permitted to be an Eved. The Sanyu, Menayin Lechem in Ha'umah, Shebaal, Knanis, Volim Menu, Ben Shat, Roshol, Knos, Be'eved, Talmud Lomer, V'gam Mepnei HaToshavim, Hagar Mimachem, Mehem Tiknu, Yochel Af HaKnani, Shebaal, Achas Min Ha'umah, Volim Ben Shat, Roshol, Knos, Be'eved, Talmud Lomer, Shalihi, Lidu Be'artzachen, Min Ha'noladim Be'artzachen, if they are patrilineally associated with the Sheva Umos, so then in such a case, the halacha will not apply to them. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Lo'olam Bayam Tavodu is going to be a Roshus, and coming to be Mechadesh, a particular halacha, in regards to the outside Goyim coming on to a Knanis and the offspring of them. Rabbi Akiva, Mimehem Tiknu Nafka. Rabbi Akiva learns that entirely from the Pasuk Mehem Tiknu. La'olam Behem Tavodu La'mali L'chova. It's going to tell you a chiyuv that once they are your Eved, they have to stay your Eved forever and not just a Rishus. Rabbi Shmuel, Behem V'lo Be'achech. And Rabbi Shmuel says that Behem is coming to tell you that you cannot have a Jew in servitude forever. As we know, the Parsha Mishpatim says that Neved Ivri is only supposed to be for 6 years. Rabbi Akiva, Be'ech Achecha Misevu Dekra Nafka. Says Rabbi Akiva, you don't need extra pasuk for that from Lo'olam Bayam Tavodu. You can learn it out just simply from the end of the pasuk that we read earlier. U'ba'achecha Mnei Salish Ba'achiv Lo Sirdu Ba'avifarech. Rabbi Shmuel says, you're right, it is superfluous. But I dechsevu Ba'achechem Kasav Nami Bahem. Since there is already a chidush, so then, in such a case, we repeat, even though there's part of the pasuk that is superfluous. And the pasuk is going to be learning, is going to be teaching us that a Jew not be held in servitude. So this was the third machlokis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, of whether it's a rishus or a chova. To summarize, we had three machlokios. One that starts from our sugya, and that is whether the drinking the kinui is considered a rishus or a chova. Rabbi Akiva says chova, Rabbi Shmuel says rishus. Lushitaso, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva again argue in regards to the permissibility of a Kohen be metamit to his unmarried sister. Rabbi Shmuel says rishus, Rabbi Akiva says chova, and our third machlok is in regards to an Eved Kenani, whether la'olam b'hem tavodu, that they should stay in servitude forever, is that is a requirement or a rishus. The Gemara now describes the devastating effects of znus four lines before the lines start getting wide. Amar chizda znusa bebeisa ki karya l'shumsha. Znus in the house affects and destroys the house like a worm destroys a sesame seed. V'amar Rav Chizda, tokfa bebeisa ki karya l'shumsha. The Gemara here equates kas with znus. And anger in the house destroys the house just like znus does. It would seem that the Gemara's correlation between the two is that in both cases, it's where a person loses control of themselves, as the Ramban describes beautifully in his Higeres. If you can hear this on a 10-minute Musar on YU Torah, where we discuss this, that anger is the breakdown where a person loses their sense of control. And so to znus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a holy thing, that we are sexual beings, and it could be used in a constructive way, whereas znus is we're not using it in the constructive manner as well. The Gemara then adds, that kas and znus entirely destroy the home when it comes to a woman. With a man, it's not as devastating as effect. The Gemara in no way, of course, is justifying these behaviors on behalf of a man, but rather a woman who is the keres habayis, so she... if she's mezana, so then in such a case, the whole fabric of the house is destroyed. The Ben Yoyada says this out expressly, that of course, the man has done something that's terrible. He says, "Ein kan razu l'chor ben abayis," when the woman has anger and znus, so then it destroys the house. The man is less so, but el yonesh on shemacherim, the Ben Yoyada writes, then it could be that the house would not be as devastated as in the case of where a woman does those acts, but the detriment and the devastation will appear in other manners. Va'amar Rav Chizda, Rav Chizda also taught in regards to this phenomenon of znus undermining the home. B'tchila kodem shechatu yisol hayse shechina sharem kol echa ve'echad, ki nemar ki Hashem elkecha mishalech bekerv me'achanecha. Originally, the pasuk had said that God was going to go amongst the machane. Kim shechatu yisrael nistalka shechina mehem. The Shechina removed itself. If there is znus, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves Klal Yisrael. Continues with the Agadah to three lines into the wide. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonis, and Kol Ois, and Mitzvah Achas Ba'olam Hazeh. If a person does even one mitzvah in this world, Mikadmaso V'oleches L'fanav L'olam Ba, it precedes him, it goes in front of him towards Olam Haba. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, in Yeshayahu, v'holach lefanecha tzikecha kvoid Hashem yasfeka, that your tzedakah, everything good we do, goes in front of us. The Marsha, it's an important source, this Marsha, says, it's well known, he doesn't quote which Maimar Chazal he's referring to, he says, Yadua, what we've been taught, many of us taught when we were young children, that every mitzvah we do creates a malach. So the malach actually goes in front of us into Olam Haba. Of course, the beautiful Gemara in Pesachim that says, Asher mi shabav et talmudo biyado, as well, that we take our Talmud, our learning in our hands, and the Mefarshim, Marsha and Svasemes, both describe that we take our writing of Torah with us in Olam HaEmes. Here we're describing, according to Marsha, the Malachim that we take with us to Olam HaEmes. Chas v'chalil, the opposite, the Gemara continues, five lines from into the wide. V'choloi v'raverachas boi l'mazeh, milafos v'lechas l'fonav li'yoy madin. And the averos also go in front of us. The Pasuk in Iyov says, Yulof su archos darkom yalu vatov yavedu. In front of us go those things that destroy us as well. Lezorai mikshur bo kekelev. This is an idea that appears in the Arizal, when the Arizal speaks about tikkunim. The Masifta Gemara quotes in the Aliba de Hilchasa, when he talks about tikkunim of Chas v'chalil Averos of Arayas, he describes the Yetzer Hara of the Averos of Arayis is attached like a Kelev. The Arizal just wasn't making this up. This is the Gemara here, 7 lines into the wide. The Averos of Arayis become attached to him like a dog, and they stay with him even in Olam Haba. Shur bo kekelev, shenemar v'lo sham alel lishchov etzva liyosimah, Eishes Potiphar tried to attempt Yosef to do an Avera. What would the Avera be? Lishkov etzla, ba'olam hazeh, liyosima, la'olam haba. One is Lishkov etzla, it says to be with her, liyosima, in other words, even ba'olam haba. Chas v'chalila, that will stay with him, even ba'olam haba. When the Yetzer Hara comes, it's kedai to look at these Gemaras to remind ourselves and to be mechazik ourselves. In regards to Yosef HaTzadik, that Yosef, as the Gemara quotes, in regards to Yosef HaTzadik, that Yosef HaTzadik had the Mustiukno Shel Aviv that was with him, and that each person should decide what is the Mustiukno that will inspire him for Kedusha, whether it's pictures of Rabbeim, for some people that works, writings. For myself, I find that Sipurei Tzadikim are very helpful. Each person, Al Pi Madregoso, Val Pi Matzavoso. First part of the halachos for the daf is the fascinating conclusion in Shulchan Aruch and in the Rambam in regards to the machlokes we had of the Tanoim, whether there is a mitzvah lekanos as Rabbi Akiva claimed, or it's only reshus as Rabbi Yishmael had claimed. The Rambam paskins, like Rabbi Gamliel, that there, and is quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Simin Kuf Ayin Ches, Sif Chof Aleph and Hilchos Sota, that there is a mitzvah to do it. There is a discussion in the Achronim whether this mitzvah in the Rambam is meant to be so far as a reshus or as a chovah. It's codified as a mitzvah. Again, the question being whether it's a reshus of the chovah. The Be'er Agra in Simin Kuf Aleph and Ches Sif Kon Lamed seems to say that it's a reshus. However, the predominant approach of the poskim, particularly even in the Likutei Halachos, in the name of the Chofetz Chaim, it seems to be that it is going to be a mitzvah. A mitzvah which is also understood by the Chofetz Chaim and most Achronim as a chov. This, however, is not only in regards to the Sota. Let us read the language of the Shulchan Aruch itself. Siv Chof Aleph, mitzvah chachon al b'nei Yisrael, v'kanos l'shoseim, to have kina, v'chol shimi she'enu makbid al ishto, v'al bono v'bnei veso, u'mashirim u'poke darcheim tamid, ad she'edah she'em shleimim, mikol chet v'avon, harei zechote. If a husband is not someone who gives direction, it seems over here that kina doesn't mean that he's jealous, that he's suspecting, or God forbid, for sure the Torah does not mean paranoia, but rather is a hakpada on his wife and children for shmiras hamitzos, to aspire that they should become shleimim. So it's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch to be makbid in mazir pokei drecheihem tamid. However, while we mention that as being halacha, we must keep in mind, even though this is not a halacha sefer, but clearly this is the spirit of the Torah, a very important ta'ara that Revolbi makes in his seminal sefer Zriya Ubinyan Bechinuch, where he points out in the classic edition, the Felmite edition, it's on page Tet Zayin, where he points out that when we talk about the mitzvah of chinuch, so then we have to look long term. So if a parent sees the child doing something wrong now, it has to be sought out how the rebuke is going to have effect later on. If the rebuke, many poskim say this in regards to the mitzvah, that the mitzvah rebuke only applies if there's going to be some type of positive result down the line. However, if the result is only going to be negative, so then there isn't anything productive in this hakpada. Maybe one could say this as well, ulai v'ulai, one could say this as well in the halach and Shulchan Aruch. Clearly, Revolbi, in giving us hadracha in chinuch, says you have to have histaklut l'tveach aroch. You have to see the long-term picture. And sometimes if the parents, and I've seen it unfortunately too many times, where the parents are too tough on their children in giving them hadracha, it only gets worse when the child becomes a teenager, as Revolbi points out, and the chinuch and the hakpada on the child has to be done with a tremendous amount of chachma. Of course, there are special shiurim in chinuch habonim that could be found on this topic. This is the first halacha that emerges. Who would have thought that on Sota Dav Gimel, the first halacha emerges in regards to hakpada on one's children and one's wife, that is actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and that's in Shulchan Aruch and Rambam. What seems is that the mitzvah lekanos is the mitzvah to not that simply there is a rishus to be makpid, but rather there is a mitzvah to be makpid on one's wife and children. But of course, it has to be done with great wisdom. The second halacha actually is buttressed the point that we made in the first halacha in Sif Chav Beis, the last sif in Evin HaEzer. The Mechaber concludes, based again on the Rambam, Ein roi litfotsu l'kana b'edim tchila. Even when it's justified, the kina, it should not be done in front of edim. V'afilu beino l'veino lo yomer lo al tistri mishploni, motion is bar. A person should not be firm and say, don't be alone with him. Ela mochiach osa beino l'veino b'nachas u'b'derech tahara v'azara k'dei l'hotzer ha'michsho u'ladricha b'derech yishara. So this could be even a source in Shulchan Aruch, that one has to be careful not to be too firm in rebuking, but rather it should be done b'nachas u'b'derech tahara, that in Shulchan Aruch we could find these beautiful ideals as well. They say beautifully on the Yom Tov of Pesach, Hasidim had started to say Halal on the nighttime, as in the minig of the Shulchan Aruch, where the Rambam says, Vanu Einogin came, and the Hasidim were mill saying Halal, Misnagdim busted in to the Hasidim in one of the Misnagdic strongholds. It was a secret minion, and the leader of the Misnagdim screamed out, "Shteit in Ramav, Anu Einoigin Kain, Anu Einoigin Kain." The leader of Hasidim responded, "How do you know when the Ramav wrote it, he was screaming, Vanu Einoigin Kain? Maybe while he was running, he said, Va'anu Einoigin Kain." So how one delivers it, as especially as Revolbi had said, in the long term, is going to be extremely, extremely important. And Shulchan Aruch Evin HaEzer concludes, B'nachas u'b'derech tahara. The next two halachos that emerge from our sugya that we will discuss are the halachos of Avel. Firstly, in the general machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, we paskin that the mitzvah for the kohen to be mesabel to his unmarried sister is actually a mitzvah, and that introduces a very important lesson in regards to Avelus in the Rambam's expression, Hilchos Avel, Perek Beis Halacha Vav. The Rambam writes, Kama chamura mitzvah Avelus, sharei nitches lo hatuma, mipnei krovav kedei sheyisasek imohem, v'yisabel elehem. We see the fact that we require a Kohen to mitame himself in order to be osek in the proper kavod for the nifter, indicates to us how significant and how severe the mitzvah of avelus is, and we force a kohen that doesn't want to be metame himself for a relative to be metame himself. This is also found in Shulchan Aruch and Shinayin Gimel Halacha Gimel. So we paskin that it's a mitzvah, like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and that becomes for the Rambam indicative of the stringency of Avelus, and it seems to indicate the chiyuv of kavod that every individual has and is expressed in the Avelus that they give for a lost relative. The last set of halachos for today are probably the most intricate and could very well be for some the most fascinating, and that is the last lines of Gimel Amud Aleph in regards to a Kohen being metame to a relative. The Gemara had said, "Lo mitama ve'ei mitame le'ivareha," that a Kohen would not be mitame himself to the limbs of his family member. Now this comes up halacha lemaisa, and there are many shitos in what constitutes the evarim. We made reference to it in the shir itself, in the machlokas between Rashi and the Tosas Harash, and now we will see it halacha lemaisa in Shulchan Aruch and through the eyes of the poskim. Shimayin Gimel, Sif Tes, and Yoradeh, and Hilchos Havelus, we have this halacha with many more details. Ein ha-kohen mitame le'ivim min ha-chayim e'oviv, v'lo me'et le'etzem me'atzamos oviv. A kohen is not mitame himself to the eiver of his father that fell off when he was alive. But the Mechaber continues and says, not only fell off when he was alive, v'chein ha-melaket atzamos,
ena matam lehem. And also if they are bones that are being collected, this happens sometimes for reburial. My own grandfather, Zichrono Livracha, was buried in taken from Chutz La'aretz and reburied in Eretz Yisrael. That's a siman in Shulchan Aruch, a malaket atzamos. V'chein a malaket atzamos, ein metam lehem, afal pisha shedra kayemes, chaser mimenu kolshu, afilu munach etzla, ein metam lehem, she'ena metame elo l'shalem. The halacha is that a kohen is only allowed to mitame to his relative when in shalem, that was the gzeres hakosov, v'lo mevareha. Continues the mechaber in Shin Ayin Gimel Tes, v'yesh mishomer dahani mili, kishechaser la'achar misam, chaser mimenu ever b'chayev, umeis mitame lo afal pisha ein shalem. There are some opinions who say that if there was an aver min hachai, so then in such a case, if it fell off when he was alive, then he would be metame after he dies, and that is the opinion of the Ramban. However, aver min hachai stam, or a case of where there's malaket atzamos, lekulei alma, he can't be metame to it. The Rama adds a chumrah that is not well known, which many say is the opinion of the Ramban, is not really a chumrah. It's me'ikar d'dina. The Rama here uses the expression yesh omrim, but some claim that there aren't many that disagree. The yesh omrim she'ena metame laharug v'mikri chaser. If God forbid the father was killed, in such a case, in a murder, usually what happens is that there is something that's going to be lost. In such a case, the halacha is that the kohen as well should not be mitame. In fact, in one of the halacha lemaisa svarim today that quotes poskim, a sefer called Taharas Kohanim, they say that this opinion of the Ramban, it could be found on this Shinayin Gimel Tes, and this opinion of the Ramban is not a das yachid, but rather it is opinion that is followed by Poske Ashkenaz. Ramesha Feinstein in Igris Moshe Yerushalik Beis Simon Kuf Samachay just adds that this is an opinion of Ashkenazim. However, those who are knowing al pidas mechaber, they should have she'elas chacham chas v'chalila in such an instance. There's another interesting discussion amongst the poskim, and that is what happens if there isn't an aver that is missing externally, but is mixing internally. The Minchas Yitzchak, as well as Rav Vosner in Shevet Halevi Chelek Gimel Simin Kuv Samach Aleph, say that's a davar pashut, that a kohen would not be able to be metameh to a father if he's missing an internal organ. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein in Chelek Beis as well, in the same tshuva, Kuf Samachay, permits a kohen to be metame for someone who dies in surgery, even if they took out internal organ. In such a case, even if it was taken out after Misa as well, Ramesha allows him to be metame, and it seems that the Tzitz Eliezer and Chelek Tes Simin Memches, this is all quoted again in the Sefer Taharas Kahanim in the Pirchei Tahara, that the Tzitz Eliezer also permits in such a case. So there seems to be a big machlokis. An interesting historical note that's quoted in the Sefer is that the Rav Menashe Klein, who just passed away this year in the Sefer Mishnah Halachos, claims that Rav Moshe Feinstein was Chozer in Chelek Gimel Simin Kuf Chaf Aleph. He claims that Rav Moshe Feinstein was chozer on his psak, and it seems that there are many poskim that would say that a kohen should not be metame in such an instance. Finally, this halacha would only apply if the father is not a meis mitzvah. However, if the father is a meis mitzvah, the Gesher HaChaim astutely points out and expounds on this in Chelek Beis of the Gesher HaChaim, Perik Yud Beis Siv Gimel, that based on the Gemara Nazir and Mem Gimel on the Beis, that the father would constitute a case in where the son, who is a kohen, can be metame to him, even if it's an aver, based on the halachos of meis mitzvah. Based on this, the Gesher HaChaim concludes with a lamdus that he applies in other instances as well, and that is that there are two halachos in regards to a kohen being metame. One is to his father when he's shalem as a karev,
And then there's another halacha that he has a mitzvah to bury anyone in Klal Yisrael if they are not properly buried, and that would apply even to the Evorim, and in such case, Kal v'chomer, as the Gemara Nazir Mem Gimel Amebei says, Meis mitzvah kamrit hashav achrina mechayiv ba'aviv lo kol shekein, certainly, if the father is a Meis mitzvah, then the Evorim would also qualify as Meis